Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Vav. We're holding right at the bottom of Chof Hei Amud Beis at the beginning of a new perek, B'nei Ha'ir. Now we're going to be talking about the inyanim of Kedusha, and Chafzei Kedusha, Chafzei Mitzvot, and the inyan of Ein Moridin. There's no Yerida in Kedusha, only Ma'alin B'Kedesh V'lo Moridin. So based on that, what do we do with the things that we have that have been bought for purposes of Kedusha, if they're worn out or if we sell them and so on? So B'nei Ha'ir Shemachrura Chovah Shelia. So first of all, the lowest level that we would have as a public Kedusha, which we'll see as a machlokas, is the actual city center, the Rechov, where people get together. And the reason we're going to see that there might be an element of Kedusha in that is because that is where we go to daven on the Taniyot, and we bring out the Aron HaKodesh there, and there is an inyan of it being sort of a semi-Beit HaKnesset. It's a place for people to gather together and daven. So therefore, even though it's a temporary kind of thing, but it has that level of Kedusha, and if the city decides that they're going to sell this to a developer, then the money is used to buy a Beit HaKnesset, which is the next level up, which is a permanent place where we get together and make a minyan and so on. How about if they sell the Beit HaKnesset? Lokhin teva. So then they can buy the teva, but derech klal we talk about the teva as the Aron HaKodesh. Now, the truth is that, technically speaking, there is a difference between a teva and an Aron HaKodesh that we call, because a teva is also used for reference to a, let's say, a safe in which you would put a Sefer Torah. And that's not really an Aron HaKodesh. It's a place in which you store the Sefer safely. But it's not there to express the covet of the Sefer and so on. Whereas the Aron HaKodesh, which has in it all the decorative elements, and it's there to give covet, not merely shmirah, so that may have a higher level of Kedusha. We'll see when we get to the details of what the dinim are of your Rav Moshe Zatzal has many, many tshuvas about these issues because they came up all the time. Because neighborhoods in the States were constantly changing. They were constantly buying, selling and buying and building new Bate Knesset and so on. That has all of the sugyas here in this parak are quoted by him very often. So anyway, if you sell the teva, then you can buy mitpachot. So the mitpachot are the decorated cloths that you have with the embroidery and so on and so forth, which are used to handle the sefer. And mitpachot, if you sell the mitpachot, then you can use that money to go on a higher level of Kedusha, which would be to buy, let's say, Sifrei Nevi'im and Sifrei Ksuvim and the Haftaras. If you sell them, Sfarim, then the next level up is, of course, to buy a Sefer Torah. But the other way around, you cannot do it. So if you sold a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to buy with that money Sefarim of Tanakh. If you sell Sefarim, you can't buy the Mitpachot, which are not anything that are themselves, have Osters of Kedusha. Mitpachot lo yikhu teva, teva lo yikhu bet HaKnesset lo yikhu tarachov. And this is true even on the change. So in other words, if you use some of the money and you have some left over, you can't say, well, okay, I already bought the shul, now we can use the leftover money to pay for the parking lot. No, that's not true. The leftovers has the same din as the money itself. So let's first talk about the idea of selling Rechova Shel Ir. Does everyone agree that there is a level of Kedusha on the Rechov? Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, actually not. This is a das of a yochid, and it's going according to Rabbi Menachem Bar Yose, where often we have mishnayos that follow his shita, and this is one of them. So it's a stumata'a. Avok hachamim omrim, rechov has no kedusha at all, and therefore if you sell the rechov, the money can be used for a movie theater. So Rabbi Menachem Bar Yose, my time, eh? He holds that Hoyova Amit Palalimbo Bataniyot, it's a question of whether it ought to say Ma'amadot, because we really did not have a mocker in Tainis that the Ma'amadot were in the Rechova. On the contrary, it said Nichlasim LeBeit HaKnesset, it said over there. So not mashma that this is the correct girsa at all. And some take it out because we don't really have a marker for it. Okay. It appears in the Girsos that are known, so I don't know what to do with that, with it exactly. So he says, and the Chachamim say, that's just that's something that happens once in a while, and that's not Koveya level of Kedusha. It has to be Miyuchad for such. Obviously, the Svara of Rabbi Yossi Ber Menachem is that, I mean, Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, is that once the Mokum is Kavua, the fact that the times are not Kavua, that doesn't change the fact that it's Miyuchad for that purpose. So that's actually the question of the Machokas. Beit HaKnesset says the Mishnah, you can buy a Teva. This whole idea that you can sell a Beit HaKnesset, is that so obvious? I mean, I understand the Beit HaKnesset Shel Kfarim. Lo Shanu Ela Beit HaKnesset Shel Kfarim. If you have a small town, so who paid for that Beit HaKnesset? I mean, that's basically a local Beit HaKnesset that all of the residents pitch in, and therefore it's built on their das, and so they have a right to sell it. But if you're talking about a shul in a big city, where over there people come from all over, and they all come to daven in that shul during the market days and the fairs, and they give all kinds of donations, and we rely on those donations to actually support the shul. So over there, you can't, because since it's considered to belong to the Rabbim, so it's Havilei de Rabbim, and how can you go ahead and make a determination that you're going to sell it? It's not yours. There's a machlokas over here whether this is really dafka, where there's a participation in the upkeep of the shul, and that's what we rely on from the people who come in, or whether this has to do with the way that the Beit HaKnesset was miyuchad l'chatchila. So that there are some times when a city builds a Beit HaKnesset, and it's a big city where people come to visit, a lot of the thought that goes into the Beit HaKnesset has to do not with our local needs, but the fact that we want to build something that shows off our community to the world, and that therefore is really built for them, and that they should be able to come in and find this beautiful big Beit HaKnesset and be taking pictures of the beautiful ceiling and so on and so forth. So, okay, so then that means that l'chatchila, the das was on the rabbim. It's not because the rabbim are paying for it. Okay, this is really a machlokas, very nogea l'halacha, between the rishonim early on. Amar Ravashi, I can give you an example where that rule does not apply, and you would have to judge for yourself in other similar situations what the din is. So right over here in Mata Mechasya, you know, even though Mata means town, that's what they used to call it. It was called Mata Mechasya. It doesn't mean in the town of Mechasya, but rather in Mechasya town, like there are some places that we call, you know, today also town. So in Mata Mechasya, you should know that it is a shul that people come from all over the world to, and according to the way you gave over the criteria, it ought to be usher to sell it. But since I'm the boss around town here, and I use this shul for shiurim, and everybody that comes there and everybody that gives money to it has in mind the fact that I am using it, so it's all adai to didi. And when people come here, they come to hear my shiurim. So kivan da daita didi ka'atu, they're only coming here because of me. So ibayina mizabnina lav. I need to sell the shul. We want to move somewhere and build a better shul or whatever. I could do that. Meitve. So we just had this question about whether, as Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, that according to Rabbi Yonasan, if it's a big city, then you cannot sell it on the das of the city council. You can't sell it. So Meisve, what about this brayta? Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Ma'ase b'Beit HaKnesset Shel Tarsim Shehaya b'Yerushalayim. Remember, it's another. Everything that happens over here has some connection to something that happens at the beginning of the Masechet. So if the Beit HaKnesset Shel Tarsim means Tarsim, and Tarsim wasn't a place, but it was the refiners, and they came from a mokum of Tarsim. So then this was the Beit HaKnesset Shel Tarsim, And it's probable that they needed their own Beit HaKnesset because the Gemara says that they smell so bad that we're going to see in Chagiga that there's a question of whether they could be Oyla L'Regel because they can't be Oyla Imko Yisrael because people can't stand being on the same flight with them, as we know today also happens, but we won't mention any names. Anyway, anybody who has flown Ethiopian Air, and knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, so they had their own shul, and over there, Rabbi Eliezer sold the shul. I mean, they sold it to Rabbi Eliezer. He bought it, and he used it for chulin. He made it into a bar, whatever you want to. Now, how could they have done that? I mean, that shul was in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is certainly a city, a big city. So how, according to Rabbi Yonasan, how could Rabbi Eliezer have accepted that he was allowed to buy this? Nah, come on. That was that little shul you're talking about on the side street over there where Barnea davens all the time and keeps claiming he has to be there because they need him for the minyan. That was this little shul. And they paid for that themselves. So it was like a shul in a kvar. Inu avduo, and that therefore had a din of a village shul. Meitveh. Beit Eretz Achuzatchem. So we're talking about the din of Tzoras, and the Torah says that if there's a nega, Davke beBeit Eretz Achuzatchem. Now, Beit Eretz Achuzatchem, and it says at the beginning of the whole parsha, Kitovol Eretz Kidan, Asher Ani Noten Lechem Lachuzah, then Venatati Nega Tzorat beBeit Eretz Achuzatchem. So now, what is considered to be Beit Eretz Achuzatchem? That means it's got to be owned as part of your Achuzah, part of your ownership. So from there we learn that Achuzatchem and only Achuzatchem is Metame B'Negaim, but because of that, Yerushalayim cannot be Metame B'Negaim. What? Yerushalayim is not part of the Nachal of Eretz Yisrael? That's interesting. Okay, but that's what it says. So apparently this Mandi Omer holds, as we're going to be Medayik shortly, that in fact Yerushalayim was not part of the Nachala, and they kept that to be the public, so to speak, Beit HaKnesset for the entire Klal Yisrael. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, that's not what I was mekabel. I was mekabel from my Rabbein that it's not Yerushalayim, it's the Mokam HaMikdash that cannot be metame b'negaim. And that is not called Eretz Achuzatchem. Now, doesn't that mean that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there is a difference between the Beit HaMikdash and all the other Beit HaKnesset? Why didn't he say any place that is given over for the public is not considered to be personal property? Instead, he said it's only the Beit HaMikdash. Now, according to Rabbi Yonatan, it should have included even the Bate Knesia, the Bate Midrashas, and here it's Mashma, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they would be Metame. Now, first of all, what's the whole point over here? I mean, L'chora, all of Amai. Why, according to this, should the Bate Knesset be Metame, according to Rabbi Yonatan? It's considered to be certainly a big city, and therefore it's considered to be Krochim. So how do you explain that? That's okay, because according to Rabbi Yonatan, what Rabbi Yehuda was basically saying is, Ani lo shamati al makom mikdash, it doesn't mean literally the Beit HaMikdash, makom mikdash. Remember, every Beit HaKnesset is called Ani natati al mikdash ma'at. I mean, the mikdash ma'at is also a loshon of mikdash. So what he meant was makom mikudash. In other words, any place that was a house for purposes of kedusha. B'mayka mifliye, we're going to be talking about this later today, by the way, b'nogea, the dinim of chometz, achilas korban pesach, and things like that in the Bezrat Hashem, we get together in the afternoon, those who get together. So this is really actually nogeya, today's daf is nogeya, the whole concept. Anyway, so what's the machlokas about whether it's the entire Yerushalayim that's not Metame B'Negaim, or whether it's only the Batei Knesiot? The Tana Kama, who says that the entire Yerushalayim is not Mekabel Tumas Taras, he apparently holds lo nitchalka Yerushalayim l'shvatim, that we never were put any rights of individuals in Yerushalayim, and all of the Shvatim were given rights to Yerushalayim together. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Sofer, no, Yerushalayim was Nischak al-Shvatim, and we know that there is a machlokas about that issue, but Plukta Dani Tanoi, the Tanya. Look, I mean, we had this whole question about the Yesod on the Mizbeach, remember? So the Yesod had two sides which were almost completely devoid of any building, even though, like, you know, we had them mapped out. But when it came to building the Mizbeach, we would put a piece of wood in that one amma along the Yesod, which was on the Dorim and the Mizrach, because that side was actually within the Tchum of Shevet Yehuda. Well, obviously, if we're talking about that Shevet Yehuda was not a wolf, and therefore it was not the predator that the Mizbeach had to be. And because of that, that was the Lucas that we had, what we talked about earlier, because really it is, that's Binyamin. The Binyamin is Avitraf. So that was the only part. And here is what that's based on. What was in the Chelek of Yehuda, the Harabayit as a whole, the Lishakot, the Azarot. So the Azara itself up to the Mizbeach, all of that belonged to Yehuda. What was Bechelko Shel Binyamin? The Ulam, the Heichal, the Beit Kodesh HaKodashim. And now the question is, the area of the Mizbeach was a little bit problematic. Why? Because it was a little extension, a weird-shaped extension that extended outward from the area of Yehuda, and it went along the line of one amma up till almost the end of the 32 ammas. It was 31 ammas of the Yesod. And it also jutted out one amma along the Yesod that was actually up against Yehuda's area, which was to the east, so to the west. So all of that was in the Chelek of Yehuda. And because of that, since it invaded, so to speak, it was nichneset into the chelek of Binyamin. So Binyamin was very upset about it, because the Mizbeach was theoretically, when it says Uba Mizbeach Banui, that's a little bit weird, because it's exactly where Uba Mizbeach was not Banui, right? But it was, that was the place where the Mizbeach was meant to be Banui. That's where the Yesod of the Mizbeach that existed virtually. That's where it was Banui. And it, because of that, Binyamin HaTzadik was mitzta'er alel b'chol yom levol'a. This was driving Binyamin HaTzadik crazy. Why can't I get the whole Yisod? We can have Domim also on the Tzad of the Ma'arav, and we should be able to have the Yisod also on the Tzad. On the Tzad HaMizrach. I keep reversing the directions. And on the Tzad HaDarom. So why can't we do that? And because it meant so much to Binyamin, when something means so much to you, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezarka you with that thing. And because of that, he was zocha to be the ushpizin shel Shechina. Shenemar chofef falaf kol hayom. Chofef means like you rub against it. I want this. It's got to be mine. And therefore, he was zocha to be the ushpizin of the Shechina. So since he wanted this so much, so also, I mean, Lamaisa, the Shechina was in Binyamin the whole time. So the Shechina was in Binyamin in Shiloh. The Shechina was in Binyamin in Ovin Givon. So this was the reason that he was Zeicha to always be the one who provided the bed and breakfast, so to speak, for the Shechina. Now, that clearly is going according to the Mandi Omar that says that Yerushalayim was his Chakal HaShvatim. We were talking about like where exactly it goes up to in the actual areas. Masha Enkein, Hai Tana Safa, the Tana of this Braisa that we're about to say, Od Zlon Yischalka Yerushalayim Mishvata, because he says, Ein Maskirin Batim Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to rent out your home in Yerushalayim, because it doesn't belong to you. It's not a Nachala, Mipnei She'enan Shelahen. And because of that, it must be that you don't own it. Rabbi Eliezer Berbit Tzedek Omer, look, if you don't own the land, then you can't rent out even a bed. Because when people are paying for the bed, they're not paying for the mattress and so on. They're paying for the right to have the bed. You're calling this a bed and breakfast. That doesn't mean that they're hanging a bed somewhere and you get breakfast along with it. That means there's a place for a bed in the bedroom, right? But the bedroom isn't yours. So how can you rent out the bed and breakfast? Because of that, you don't even have a schutz. Yeah, good luck, Daniel. So that means that you don't have the schus to rent out the bed either. Now, I mean, but Lamaisa, there should be some small rental charge on the actual bed, right? I mean, some of the hotels, you actually have to put in money, you know, and a bed pops out. You know, they charge for everything separately. Master of the house. But anyway, in this case, we make a deal that gives you some rights to get something at least for your bed. So lefichach orot kodashim, the baalei shmezina timatam bezroa. So you would have a right to take the orot from the kochim kalim that the owners have, and they're eating in your house because your house is Yerushalayim. So those are like the empty bottles, so to speak. So those you get to keep, and you can force them to give it to you, because that would apparently normally be an accepted kind of exchange for people taking you into their home. Omer Abaye, so indeed, you see from here that it's Derech Eretz, that if you've got these wine bottles or Coke cans that you are left over after a meal, I mean, these things are very valuable nowadays. There's some people who make their entire living running around and picking up all of the Coke bottles. And that's why Gavi's always running around with that broom. You know, it's a great way to make money. And then you take it into the supermarket and wow. So Shmamina, you see from here that it's Derech Eretz to leave your empty Coke bottles and your empty wine bottles with your Ushpizin. And since that's the Derech Eretz, so in this case, he can take it from you, Badavka, Bekoyach, if you don't want to give it to him. Anyway, so getting back to the Mishnah. All right, so this seems to be about Machlokas. By the way, as I said, there's all kinds of questions about this Perek and the Inyanim of the Kedusha. First of all, what is the Inyan of the Kedusha of the Beit HaKnesset? All right, that is not clear. How does something become Kodesh? What would it mean to say that it's Kodesh? We say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Mokum Mekodesh. We're going to see a little bit later that this is a Machlokas Rishonim, and has big nafkaminas la'alocha about how it works. But we also, when we're talking about Yerushalayim, we need to take into consideration the fact that Habakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha seems to come after, not before Yerushalayim. So, I mean, if the Nachala did not know, ostensibly we didn't know that Yerushalayim was going to be the base of Mikdash, right? Don't ask me how we didn't know, since Avram Avinu went there and went to Har Moriah. But anyway, it wasn't Nifchar yet, Ayyadei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we did know that it would be Nifchar, but, you know, some things are Misilot Bilvavam, as we said. We pretend that we're just driving along and waiting for things to happen. Okay, so the question is, L'chatchila, was Yerushalayim Nischak al-Shvatim? So that's how the Chazon Ish understands the whole sugya. Yerushalayim was Nischak al-Shvatim. Originally, that's for sure. Then when we built the Beis HaMikdash, so Beis Din was Mafkia. They have the right to be Mafkia. They were Mafkia, the rights that you had to your particular homes in order to dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Olei Regalim. But that means that according to the Chazon Ish, Daniel's suit to his balabayit that he put in this morning is not going to be successful. Because according to the Chazon Ish, the only time that we said that you don't have rights to take rent is during the regal, since everybody has to have the ability to come up for Aliyah regal, and they need to have these places. So therefore, during the regal, when it's meant for everybody to be there, then you don't have a right to take rent. But other times, you would have a right to take rent. Now, of course, according to those people, such as Daniel and Rabbanea, that were not allowed to have Daf Yomi during the time that they're in Yerushalayim, they're davening and so on. So they obviously hold that the entire year has a din of a regal. So because of that, according to them, he could actually sue his balabayit. The question is that in that case, if they paskin against him, he's going to have to come to Daf Yomi on time. It's probably not kedai for him to put in that suit. Anyway, that's according to the Chazon Ish. But according to what appears to be clearly, I don't know why the Chazon Ish doesn't bring it, but Tosfos in Yuma says very clearly that it was then even lechatchila that it wasn't nischak al-shvatim, which also has nafkaminas, as we'll see, lochalamais, and we talked about some of Ramesh's piskei halachas. Anyway, Omar Rava lo shanun, elo shalom machru, then you could even turn the shul into a bar. Oh, wow. Okay. There are those, of course, who hold that a bar has a level of Kedusha. So they want to raise the bar, as Barney is about to say. So I figured, you know, at least we'd get him to shut up for a minute. So There, what exactly is this? Shiva Tuvei Ya'ir, that's the town council. And together, Bababan Anshei Ya'ir, like, why do we need both? I mean, either they have a right to sell, they don't have a right to sell. Why would we need the Mamad Anshei Ya'ir? And why wouldn't the Mamad Anshei Ya'ir work then without the Shiva Tuvei Ya'ir? Now, this is going to be dependent in how we understand the nature of the Kedushat Beit HaKnesset. So therefore, I think we'll wait for a few minutes till we get to that part of the sugya that deals with this. So Ravina, Ravina had like one of his properties, had this tail. And this tail was like the remnants of an ancient Beit Knesset that had collapsed there and hadn't been used in centuries. So Atalakami de Ravashi, Armalei Ma'ala Misri. I would like to sow my entire field. And like this area over here that has the tail in it, this also relates back to the beginning of the Masechet, remember? So this area that has the tail in it, I would like to sow it. So can I or can I not? Does it still have a Kedusha because it was originally Beit HaKnesset? Omarlei, what you can do is you can buy the rights to it from Shiva Tuvei Ya'ir B'Ma'amad Anshei Ya'ir. But otherwise, it still retains its Kedusha. Then you'll be allowed to be Zorea it because you can even turn it into a bar. So then you could certainly do that. Rami Baraba Havikabani Beit Knishta, he wanted to build a new shul, Rami Baraba, and it was going to replace an old shul. So Havayahi Knishta Atika, he wanted to use the building materials of the old shul in order to build the new shul. And this is like now it's very popular. You know, you put a number on every stone and then you put it together and then it's worth more money because it's defaced with all of these numbers. And it's like this ancient, you know, archaeological shul. Everybody pays double dues for that. So that's what he wanted to do. And then he was going to bring the Livnei Kishuri. I mean, now he would bring the bricks and he would bring the roof beams from that old shul and put them into the new shul. Vayuli Lahatam. This beautiful example of this right now in the building that they're building right on the corner where Gavi is today. This is, if you take a look at the new building, they incorporated the front of the old Mizrahi building and they numbered each brick. It's hilarious because that when they built that building, everybody felt, wow, what a beautiful new building. And so big and lovely. Now they put the front of that building onto the new building, right? So it's like this tiny little corner of this massive skyscraper. And it's got all the numbers of the original bricks. Did you see it? It's like right around the corner from Moshe. So it's really amazing. But there's a chashivas to it. See, he wanted to take all of the old material and put it into the new one. So he asked them, Yoti v'kamiboy, like when Rav Chisda said that you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to destroy a Beit HaKnesset and use it to build another Beit HaKnesset. They didn't say and use it. Yeah, you're moving a Beit HaKnesset. I want to know whether, even if you're going to use it, you're not allowed to destroy the Beit HaKnesset in order to put it into the new Beit HaKnesset. Because maybe the idea over there is Hatam Mishum Pshiyuta. Maybe, I mean, if the whole issue is, you know, it's all very nice. You're going to break down the old Beit HaKnesset. How do we know you're ever going to get around to building the new one? You know, that's what all the developers say. Just so you know, we'll clear out the area. Right. Thank you very much. And 20 years later, it's still a hole in the ground. So how do we know that you're going to actually? But I want to know, in this case, I'm only breaking down the old one in order to be able to use the material in the new one. So are we chayish for pshiyuta? Even in this case, what would be the din of Rami who wanted to build it over here? The only reason I want to break it down is to get the material. So he came to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, no, you're not allowed to do it. He came to Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, no, you're not allowed to do it. Rav Huna berayed Rav Yeshua. It should say according to Mr. Asashas. For obvious reasons, it would be a little difficult for him to be a time traveler to go back in time to speak to Rav Huna. Omar Rabba, Hai Beit Knishta. So when we're talking about Beit HaKnesset, and we're talking about selling it, now obviously when we say selling it doesn't mean selling it for cash. I mean, you could exchange it for something. You know, so Chilufa, Zabuna, that we said was mutter in the correct circumstances. where you have, you know, the Ansha, the Shiva Tuvayir, and so on, Hamadayir. But renting it out or getting money for it is a mortgage where somebody's going to have the rights to it, the new mortgage period, that you're not allowed to do. Because then it's going to be used for other tzrachim, and it retains its kedusha if you're just renting it. So if you sold it, so it means that now you're misalik your das from it, and now it's not going to be used. There's a Beit HaKnesset, so then okay, so then it loses its kedusha. But if you rent it out, then you don't have that advantage. So what are you going to rent it out for? We'd have to rent it out for another shul. Okay, fine. I mean, that certainly is okay. Now, what about the bricks? So we already tore down the shul. Now we have these bricks. We have bricks that were left over. We have that kedusha on it. We said that the leftovers are also considered to be kedush. So livni nami. Chalufinu vezibuninu shari. Uzufinu asa. So you're allowed to sell them, yes, exchange them, but you can't lend them out for someone to use until he gets his own materials. Now, does this apply even if it was never used? So that's the question, l'chora, that has to do with hazmana. Is saying that something has been yuchad for a particular purpose, does it give it the kedusha of that purpose? So if we're talking about atikta, we're talking about bricks that had once been part of the shul was torn down, and now I have these. But what about if it's brand new? I say if it's brand new bricks that were purchased for the purpose of building a shul, that does not have kedusha. Why not? Isn't it dependent in the question of whether hazmana miltahi? No, I say not. Because afilu lemandi omar hazmana miltahi, this hazmana milta is only where you have the direct usage of the material for the object of the iser. So for instance, somebody is making a beged for a mace. So if you're making the beged for the mace and you have something that was miyuchad for the mace, so there it would be considered the question, is that enough that I'm being miyachadit for a mace? It's a mace, it's asur b'hanah, and so on. But that thing is ready to be used for the mace. But over here, suppose you would set aside threads to weave the beged for the mace. And you don't have the beged yet. That's what you're doing over here. And the halacha over there is that if you have tovui la'orig, and you have woven threads that you now want to use to make a beged, but you just have threads now, you don't even have materials, you're going to make the woven material in order to make the arid, that nobody holds that there's a din of lekalamandiyama. Nobody holds that that's considered to be hazmona. Hazmona has to be an object that is usable as is. This is the same as that. So this is like the threads. Now you have the bricks. The bricks are the threads. Now you're going to go make the building, and now the building is going to be for the Beit HaKnesset. Nobody holds that that's called hazmona. Now, the other question would be, which we didn't discuss, can you give it away as a matana? That's the question. I'm telling you, whenever you have two people together, they always have Sesame Street up. I don't know why that is. I always thought that the Daf Yomi is more interesting than Sesame Street. I see it's not true. Two people, there's always a screen up on the wall. Dangerous. Okay, so... So that's the shaila. So it's a machlokas. Actually, pliga bar Rav Acha Ravina, one holds its mutter, one holds its aser. So whoever it is that asers, he says, well, of course you can't give it as a matana, because b'hai or b'mai, should say, tifka kedushata. What in the world would the kedusha be removed by? Now, what does this sound like to you? Doesn't it sound like the sugis that we had, b'nogea kochim, that you need to have an object for the kedusha to be removed from object A to now be chal on this object? It can't be chal on an idea. So if you're going to be giving something as a matana, so how could you give it as a matana? That's what he seems to be saying. Now, if that is what he's saying, then that means that he is taking for granted that the level of kedusha of the Beit HaKnesset is a getter of kedushat haguf. And if it's Kedushat HaGuf, then that means it needs to have an object to be chal on. And that would be the simple meaning of B'mai. Masha Enkein, Mandashori says, well, Ilav Da'avile Hana'amine, Lo Yoyev, Lo Avi Yoyev Le. I mean, look, if they weren't getting something out of it, I mean, really, we just want to give a gift. There's a reason why the town wants to give a gift. Believe me, we're not interested in making this person happy. We're interested in what we can get out of this person. So when the yeshiva gives this big plaque and, you know, or sends the flowers, believe me, they don't give a hang about your flowers. They just figure they're going to get a big donation. So why is it that they're doing this? They're doing this for whatever it is that they're getting. So then that means that every matana is, bottom line, kizvini. Haravi le matana, kizvini. And therefore, what would be the problem? Now, that seems to imply that what it was that the Manda Asar was saying was not about an object, because he's not addressing the object, right? He's just saying, well, I mean, they're getting something out of it, but that's not what I was saying. I was saying that something is not the point. What is the thing that it would actually be chal on? That was my question, and you're not addressing what that question is. So this is really the basis of the whole, the machlokas and the Rishonim, the main shitas that we have, the Ramban shita and the Ran shita, as what the Kedusha of a Beit HaKnesset is. So the Ramban says, the idea of the Kedusha of a Beit HaKnesset is not the nature of Tashmishei Kedusha. It's Tashmishei Mitzvah. So since the Beit HaKnesset is used L'tzorech Mitzvah, and this is the same thing as your tzitzit. Your tzitzit, while they're being used for a mitzvah. So they have the level of Kedusha that comes from the mitzvah, but not from a Kedusha's haguf. So therefore, as long as it's being used for the mitzvah, it has that Kedusha. The point where it's no longer usable for a mitzvah, mi'ikra din, you take your tzitzis and you throw them in a garbage dump, because they don't have any Kedusha's haguf. We're knowing COVID because of the fact that they were used for a mitzvah, but that's not the same as Kedusha's haguf. Tainiz Ramban, that's exactly the point of a Beit HaKnesset. As long as the Beit HaKnesset is a pair of tzitzit, do you wear the pair of tzitzit all the time? No. You'll wear this pair of tzitzit. You have 20 pairs. You'll wear this pair of tzitzit, maybe only for Shabbos, whatever. Same thing is true of the Beit HaKnesset. It's not only when it's literally in use, but where it is miyuchad to be used. So as long as it is still meant to be used, you're not allowed to use it as a bar. You still have to be knowing with it the Kedushas Mitzvah, because even if it collapsed, like the cases that we had over here, and it's a tell, the understanding is that, look, a community is going to ultimately rebuild it unless it's sold. And therefore, even if the Tuvei Ha'ir sell it, but you don't have the maimed of Anshei Ha'ir, this is how the Ramban explains the whole point. What's the meaning of B'maman Anshei Ha'ir? So then we assume that the Anshei Ha'ir still want to use it. And the question of the money, that's not the point. So they don't want the usage of it, and therefore the mitzvah that they have by being able to daven there, they don't want it to go away. And because of that, it won't go away, because they plan to ultimately reuse it on some level. But it has nothing to do with like being mechalo kachem or something like that, and you don't need an actual chefetz. Therefore, if the Anshei Ha'ir themselves agree that it can be sold, that's why the money can be used for a bar, because it never had, it's like throwing the tzitzis into the garbage. It never had Kedushas Haguf. So wherever you have a Tashmish mitzvah, where the Zman of the mitzvah passes, so it's no longer Kedush, like your Sukkah decorations, fine. So because of that, the Anshei Ha'ir would not be allowed to sell it unless they have a place to daven. Fine, that's also the same. The same thing is true if you have one eser. You're going to be using that eser. So that eser is considered to be uktzah l'mitzvah for 7 days. So now the question of the matana, according to Ramban, is a machlokas not about, and this you'll notice the gears over here is b'hai, not b'mai. Our gears is b'hai mafki kedushate. But my Mufke Kedushate is actually mashma, that it's the chefetz. But the way the Ramban is understanding it, the issue is the das. What is the real das of giving it as a matana? That's the question. Even if it was done with the Maimon Anshei Ha'ir. Do we say that, look, people are not really giving up on utilizing a mitzvah unless they have another mitzvah and it's exchange? Or do we say, well, obviously they expect that there's a valid exchange, so then it would be a normal mechira. And that would be the pashtus of the way to understand the sugya over here. Now, the Ran argues with that, and he holds that the Rabbanan gave a Beit HaKnesset, since it's used for Divrei Kedusha, meaning so it's used for laning from the Torah and for learning Torah and the Kaddish and so on and so forth. So it's more than just a mitzvah. The Rabbanan gave a Kedusha of the mitzvahs, of the Dover Shebe Kedusha. That's why it's called Dover Shebe Kedusha. They gave it to the actual building in which the Dover Shebe Kedusha takes place. And therefore, you can never take off the actual Kedusha itself, which is why you're not allowed to rent it out and so on. And you would not be able to give it a matana, even if it was the Anshe Ha'ir together with the Tuvei Ha'ir. So then why would we be matirid according to Man Yomar, who says it's shorim? Because he holds that the level of Kedusha that Rabbanan gave it can be mufka on the basis of a hanor, not on the basis. They weren't mechayev you to treat it like Hegdash itself. And so because of that, they also didn't give the same level of Kedusha to the money that you exchanged for it. So then that would mean, according to the Ran, the whole thing is a drabanan. And that's the way Rav Moshe based his Piskei Halachas, that this is a, entirely a Kedusha drabanan, and therefore it's Nogea, only an Issa drabanan, Nogea, Sveikas drabanan. Ira's been working very hard, and we understand he's having trouble this morning. And if Lamaisa, again, there are other questions that Rav Moshe raises, which is, the din is that Hegdash is Mafkia Midei Shibut. So suppose somebody gave money to a Beit HaKnesset where someone else had a lien on that money. Would it be Mafkia the Shibut? So he tainas, even according to the Ran, who says that there is a Kedusha Zaguf, they certainly didn't give it a full Kedusha Zaguf, a haraya that it is sellable on something that doesn't have a chayfetz. Because of that, it certainly would not be Mafkia Midei Shibut. But anyway, it's fascinating to see how Nogel Halacha, the mamish protim of details and understanding like what the mocker of the issues are, that all of this is Nogel. Okay, now, Tana Rabbanan. Tashmishei mitzvah nizrakim. You see how beautifully it works out according to Ramban. Because according to the Ran, we're now all of a sudden we're bringing up another issue. Why are we talking about Tashmishei mitzvah? After all, we've only been dealing with the Tashmishei Kedusha over here the whole time. Okay, so according to that, we're actually changing the topic and thinking about what's the din legabe a chefetz shel mitzvah as opposed to chefetz kedusha. According to the Ramban, it mamish is part of the sugya of the Beit HaKnesset. So Tashmishei mitzvah can actually be thrown into the garbage. And okay, Lamaisa, the Ashkenazim for sure are makbid because of the sheet of the Ramah, who says that you're not allowed to put them in a makom that's mevuzah. It's not just a getter of covet. It's mamash and iser, according to him. So, masha enkein, tashmishei kedusha, you can't throw them out. You have to be gonez them. So, for instance, we're talking about tashmishei mitzvah. What do we mean? You have your sukkah, you have a lulav, you have a shofar, a tzitzis. Those things do not have to be treated as they have kedusha in them. And when they're no longer usable for the mitzvah, so they can be thrown out, or certainly don't need gneza. You put them in a place where, which is b'chubad. Eloi tashmishei kedusha. Oh, we're talking about things that get kedusha on it. So there we're talking about deluzkime, svarim, and tefillin, and mezuzas. So there we have these little bags that hold svarim, tefillin, and mezuzas. Now over here, the question is, when we're going to see later on, I mentioned to you the difference, possible difference between a teva and a actual aron kodesh. So the question is a storage bag or a box, is it the same as the tik? So let's say you have a storage bag for your tefillin. Those are those plastic bags that keep your tefillin waterproof, let's say, right? So they protect from dust and so on. They certainly don't serve as a decoration for the covet of the tefillin. Masha'in, can you have the beautiful tik with all of its decorations and its ketifah and so on? That's something else. So you were talking about a sack that protects it. It's called out the plastic bag for tefillin, mezuzahs, the tikk of a sefer Torah, the nartik shel tefillin, and the ritzuas, and all of that. Those are things that do have kedusha on it because the kedusha of the object that they are protecting or showing off, those are considered to be in the exposure that this is doing. Now, Rava says, you know, I used to think that Mireja Avimina Haikursaya is only a tashmish of a tashmish. Now, what is the Kursaya? Almost everybody learns that the Kursaya is a reference to the Bima. However, remember that the Lashon Kursaya actually means a kursan, a beautiful chair. And it's because of this, that's how the Beis Yosef understands. It's because of this that he paskins, that we're talking about a special chair that was used for putting the Sefer Torah on when you have more than one Sefer Torah. And the question is, does that really mean that you're allowed to do that? Or do you need someone to hold the Sefer Torah? Now, Lemaisa, almost all of the Mefarshim understand the Kursaya of being a Bima, and according to them, it is not covered to put the Sefer Torah on a chair, even if that chair is miyuchad for the Sefer Torah. However, Lemaisa, the Poskim say that those places where they do that, based on the way that they obviously, the Beis Yosef saw the Hanhaga, those places, Yesh Lamam Milismo, they certainly have what to rely on, because there are those who learn that that's the Kursaya. In most places, the minhag is that a person is miyuchad to hold the sefer during the time that we're waiting to bring it up to be read from. But anyway, in either event, says Rava, I thought originally that this is not considered to have the kedusha of a chefetz shel kedusha. Why? Because it's a tashmish of a tashmish. And a tashmish of a tashmish is not considered to have kedusha. Why is that? Because they always put this decorative mapa over the bima. People don't use the bima directly. And that decorative mapa is the actual thing that the Sefer Torah sits on. So which means that the table, which is underneath, is really only the tashmish for the tashmish of which the Sefer Torah is on. And therefore it should be mutter to use it for other things. But then I saw that given the Chazina, the Motvi Aluya Sefer Torah, that sometimes they would put the Sefer Torah directly onto the Bima without putting a mapa. So then I realized, Amina Tashmish Kedusha, Vosser. So then it would actually be also. Now, this is a big problem. And the reason it's a big problem is because people use the teva. They put tzedakah box on the teva, the luach on the teva. People put the talis on the teva. People lean on the teva. If you're telling me it has a kedusha, it's miyukam from the Sefer Torah, how are you allowed to do that? And the truth is, mi'ikar adin, you're really not allowed to do that. None of those things ought to be done. There's always the peskim right to be malamid chus. So they give excuses for why it's done. But nobody says that's what you ought to do. So the excuses are essentially built around the idea of what is the das originally with the kedusha. In other words, since this has become the minhag that people do this, so memela, it means that they made a tnai lechatchila that you're not, that they're not being miyachidit for the Sefer Torah. They can be used for other things. By the way, you have an interesting question. The same kind of question would be nogea, somebody who puts his sitter into his talis bag. So the talis itself is only a chefetz shel mitzvah, but the sitter that has the kriyas, the shemais, and so on, is a chefetz shel kedusha. It has a kedusha of sforim. So then that would mean that the tikk of the talis now becomes the tikk of the sefer, and you're not allowed to throw out your talis bag. There's also a problem. The question over there, whether it helps to make the tnai and so on, or what's the level of geniza you would need for a talis bag. Wow. Okay, so I also thought, said Rav, I used to think that the Prisa is also a tashmish of a tashmish. Because what we would do over here is we would have the parochet either on the outside or immediately behind. But I didn't see that as being nogea, the Sefer Torah itself. It was nogea, the orang of the Sefer Torah. So it's actually a tashmish of a tashmish, and therefore there shouldn't be a kedusha on the parochas. That's what I thought. But then I saw that sometimes, given the chazina, the eifele, umanche sifrei Elohim, I saw that they would bend it over, use it as a mapat to put the Sefer Torah on. So then I realized that it also is a tashmish of Kedusha and is us. Now, what would be the din, said Rava, about a teva that was used for the Sefer Torah, and now it's in very bad shape. It was ear pot. So basically it fell apart. So to make it into a smaller teva, let's say, to use in a beta ovel or something like that, so you can get enough material from it. If you cut it down so the parts that are very worn out, you can cut off, and you can make it into a smaller teva. So that, for sure, is mutter. But to make it into a korsaya, that would be to make it into a shtender, that is oser, because that has less kedusha than the teva. Why? Even though both are used for a sefer Torah, because one is used for only sometimes putting the sefer on, like when you're reading from it, and the other is used for the sefer's main place, like the Rambam says, to be miyached le'makam. So that is a deeper kedusha. You see that there are levels even within the same configuration of kedusha. We're talking sometimes being a tashmish kedusha, but there are more kavua tashmishim, less kavua tashmishim, more choshev tashmishim in terms of showing off the covet of a thing versus less choshev tashmishim in terms of preserving the thing or keeping water off of it and so on. Furthermore, said Rava, if you have the priest, so you have a parochus that was bola, so then you can use it, and that was the parochus from the Orain, you can use that to make a priest or a sifri, like the Sephardic Sifrei Torah, or to make it into, you know, we have that hanging curtain inside of the hard box around the sefer. So that's the equivalent usage. And, or to actually make it a covering for a sefer Torah, to be the tik for the sefer Torah. But you couldn't use it to be a tik for a haftorah, because that doesn't have the kedusha of a sefer Torah. And another thing I'll tell you, Amar Rava, hani zvile b'chumashi, and kamatri de sefer, are considered to be tashmishi kedusha ninu. Vinignazim, where you have these boxes, the zvile are sacks, so they're soft, and they're used for keeping chumashim in. Or you have boxes that are being held to protect Sifrei Torah, that's still called a tashmish kedusha. Well, obviously, isn't that pshita? No. Because you might have thought that ma'adatei ma'ay lav l'kovet avdinan, they're not made to show it off as a gover kovet, they're only made to make sure that it's waterproof. So it's l'nature ba'alma. Kamash malan, therefore, you see, says Rava, that actually it is a something that does give cover. Now, this does not mean that you see the kamash, this is how the Rishonim explained it, the kamash malan is not kamash malan, that even something that only provides waterproof protection is enough to asr it. No, that's not what the kamash malan is. Kamash malan, that it is meant to also provide a level of covet. Now, this was very nogea to us recently. What is the din of the safe that we had in the Beis HaMedrash for the Sefer Torah? Does that have a din of kamatri, basically? In other words, it's only there for protection. Or does it provide some level of covet as well? So this, I think, was a bit of a misunderstanding with the Zilbermans, who went in to use it, and they wanted to use it for Divrei Chol. And so I felt, because of the fact that we had decorated it, and we had put on the inside decorations for the covet of the Sefer, and on the outside a paroches, that Lemaisa, it's there also as covet, and therefore wasn't allowed to be used for anything else. It was made for a Sefer Torah based on this sugya. Because that's the issue. There's normal. Once we took off the parochet and so on, so it looked like a normal safe. Okay, so then if it's a normal safe, then it's not meant for the covet of the Torah. Anyway, that's what the issue was, Nogia. Still would be Nogia. Okay. Harube Knishna Diyudai Deromi. Now, this is here, Dafka for Dvorah today, and the whole sugya was put here specifically, so she should have a special Erev Shabbos. The Jews in Rome had a Beit HaKnesset. Now, the Chevra Kadisha used the room that was open into the Beit HaKnesset for the keeping the mace on the way to the Beis HaKvaris. So they had brought in a mace into the room, And they wanted after the davening that the entire tzibur should come out and should accompany the mace to the kvura. The problem is that Barnea was there. And Barnea wanted to do the minyan that he was part of, because otherwise he would have to go to Daf Yomi. But he couldn't go in there because it was open to the area where the mace was. So he complained. And Avi Boy Karni Lamele Tzuluyas. So they came and told Rava, we got a problem. So he said, I'll tell you what you could do. We learn out many halachas lamaisa from here. I'll tell you what you could do. You can take the teva of the Sefer Torah and put it in front of the door. And that will close off the entire door. And it will be chotzeitz bifnei atuma. How could a teva be chotzeitz bifnei atuma if it's mekabel tuma? Since it's a kli eitz. And the kli eitz is mekabel tuma. Because it's a kli eitz ha'asui l'nachat. Remember, we just finished all of those sugyas and kalim, that we learn out the dinim of eitz, kli eitz, from sak. Just like sak has to be metalto molivarekam, so too kli eitz has to be metalto molivarekam. We had the whole sugya about the shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's a bekabel tumah or not. So since you don't move the orein, so because of that, ein kli eitz asur menachas in bekabel tumah, and therefore it'll be chotzeitz bifnei atumah. So they went and they told Rava, Omer le-Rabbanu le-Rava, it's not true. Because sometimes we use the teva to actually put a Sefer Torah on it. In which case it is mentalta b'ribala v'reka. So Rava said, well, I mean, if that's the case, forget it. Barnea ain't coming in here. Omer mar zutra, mitpachot sefarim shebalu, osim otam tachrich lebeit mitzvah, v'zui gnizatan. We need to do a gniza. Best possible gniza. They're going to bury them. Instead of burying them, stam, use them to be a tachrichin for a meis mitzvah, which the tzibur is going to be taken care of. And that's the best geniza, because this way we're burying them. Nobody's being nene from them, because it's certainly not a din in hanoah. And so because of that, you're being makabel, you're being makayim two mitzvahs. V'yomar Rava, a sefer Torah shabala should be buried near a Talmud Chacham. When we say a Talmud Chacham, it's not mamish big Talmud Chacham. Afilu shonei halachot, if that's where you live, then even if you're only a shonei halachot, so this person never learned Gemara, he doesn't know how to be ma'ayan in the Gemara and apply the Gemara, but he reads every day the Mishnah Berurah and the Zabaki and the halachas, that's enough. Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov, but you have to put the Sefer Torah inside of a kli cheres before you bury it, because otherwise it's as if you're destroying it. Shneimav unfatem bechli cheres leman yamdu yamim rabim. They're meant to be a shtar. There, it's talking about the shtarot that was before the Churban, before they went to Bavel. Keep them leman yamdu yamim rabim by putting them in a kli cheres.